Greetings from El Montecito Presbyterian Church, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find it to be meaningful and relevant. We are located at 1455 East Valley Road in Santa Barbara, California. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us by phone at 805-969-5041 or visit us on our website at www.elmopress.org. And now, may God bless you as you give attention to His Word.
Indeed, Lord, may we know that you are always near. May there, in fact, be one holy passion filling my entire frame. And may my heart be an altar and your love the flame to the glory of your name as we hear the word of God. Amen. Let us read together, or let me read, and if you would follow the word of God this morning. It's from Romans chapter 15 and verses 1 to 13. I read it from the Message, which is a wonderful reading Bible, but not necessarily a good study Bible. And therefore, I repeat it again, just the final verse, which is our text this morning, from the New Revised Standard Version. So will you quieten your heart and receive the Word of God? Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped them out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of His steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever He will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it, now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders, so that the old ancestral promises would come true for them. As a result, the non-Jewish outsiders have been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true in what we do. For instance, then I'll join outsiders in a hymn sing. I'll sing to your name. And this one, Outsiders and insiders rejoice together. And again, people of all nations celebrate God. All colors and races give hearty praise. And Isaiah's word, the root of our ancestor Jesse, breaking through the earth and growing tree tall, tall enough for everyone everywhere to see and take hope. Oh, may the God of hope fill you with joy, fill you with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. What a remarkable benediction. And now hear it from the Revised Standard Version. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God. The church had a critical business meeting. The moderator called the meeting to order and opened in a prayer that celebrated God's might and majesty from eternity. His sovereignty and his wisdom, his care, his power. He thanked God for providing grace sufficient for everything and for his supervision of history. Sort of along the lines of our worship this morning. Didn't you love that? Just so positive and hopeful and exalting the God of history as the God of our hope. And then he had the meeting quietened down, and his first statement was, as he introduced the business, "The situation in this church is hopeless." Now we smile or mock at the disparity because we understand that either his prayer was the recitation of pious platitudes that meant nothing, or else his statement was pure baloney. You can choose which one. You decide. But I ask you to decide where you stand on the question as well, because I find myself in that situation from time to time, with my mind affirming God is great and God is sovereign, but my actions following the line of hopelessness. And so our benediction this morning speaks to every one of our hearts, and mine has been challenged all week long to really trust God in everything and for everything and in every situation, and have Him actually controlling me in every situation, because that's what trust is, isn't it? It's God actually taking control, and we are listening and abounding in life-giving energy, full of hope to accomplish what God desires. So here comes Paul, and he's concluding his very powerful and significant letter to the Roman church. He's never been there, but he knows lots of people there. He's got a desire to go there, but the Holy Spirit hasn't opened the way for him to go until... Yet, still hoping. And so he writes what we might call a reasoned laying out of the gospel in all its glory and addressing every issue. Every issue you find in your faith, you will find an answer somewhere in the book of Romans. It's hard to get around it. I resisted preaching from it for 20 years. Until I felt okay, now I'm ready. And when I do preach through it, I always think, I don't know if I'm ready. It's so deep and so huge and so all-encompassing. But now he's come to the end and he wants to show that this is not just all intellectual stuff. This has got a focused application that is an essential in every life. And that is that the whole machinery of the gospel finds its laser-like focus in your life today when he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace, no room for anything else, and may you abound in hope. May that hope be superabundant and overflowing. May it be, he says, in the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the gospel is all about. And I would hope that's what my 2 years in this great pulpit has been all about. I say it's great because it's had great preachers in it. I stand in great footsteps here, and I'm grateful. And it's my last words to you, this great benediction. May the God of hope fill you, each and every one, with all joy and all peace. And wherever that's disrupted, may the hope abound in the power of the Holy Spirit so that that disruption can be dealt with and you will abound. It will be this abundant thing in you. I've got hope. So let's reflect a bit on this because it's so life-giving and interesting. All of life, you see, can be traced on a linear line. And everything that happens to you is caused by a stimulus. So let's just say over here somewhere I'm stimulated by somebody insulting me. And my knee-jerk reaction is to say, you're not so hot yourself, so here's the reaction. And in all of life, there is this natural, the reaction of the natural man to every stimulus that life brings your way. And it starts from the moment you open your eyes till you sort of doze off at the end of a long day. And all along, you are responding to the stimulus of life. Our success depends upon the way we respond. So if I respond and the outcome is successful, then I am filled with peace and joy. And I say, that was a pretty good response to the stimulus, whether it was a good one or a bad one, the outcome is successful. But if the outcome is not successful, then my peace and my joy are interrupted and I respond as the way I've just indicated in some nasty way. And if that leads, let's say, to a feud, and in the feud I lose my whole estate, so that instead of there being success, there's this abysmal failure. Well, what do I do then? Well, then I blame. You to blame for me losing my estate. Then I accuse. You're the one who made this happen. And I defend myself and I rationalize it all. And I'm a complaining whiner. My hope was shattered. I'd hoped for success, and the success was a failure. So not only was my hope shattered, but my joy and my peace flew out the window, and now I am in danger of becoming an embittered person. Now I might become angry because the loss may crowd in on me and take over, and that's all that I'm sort of focused on. I can be pleasant in every situation, but I've got a thin skin, and I'm easily provoked because I'm still grinding my teeth over my lack of success. So all of our life result comes from this place called hope. I hope for success. That hope is contingent on circumstances, like the weather may prevent the great vacation you're hoping for. The collapse of the economy may prevent the retirement you'd been banking on. The doctor's diagnosis may prevent your very life. And so all of this hope on this linear level is contingent on things that you cannot control. Now notice the beauty of this benediction. It is the God of hope. It takes place from a table of communion with God. Here the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who have determined to bring the gospel of the good news to the furthest corners of the earth, has reached you in your far corner, and He draws you into this communion. And in this place and from this place, He says, I am going to fill you with a different hope. It won't be on the linear level, it will be on the vertical level. It will not be contingent. It will not be dependent on weather or the economy or health or anything else. Because you see, the hope that I am promoting in you in this place of communion is the hope that comes from a heart that loves you despite everything you can do to the contrary. That's where our hope is generated as believers. May the God of peace, of hope, fill you with all joy and all peace, so that we now have this peace flowing not from the success we had, but from the love of God. Now, I still get disappointed. There are still times when my peace is disrupted, times when I'm not feeling absolutely joyful. But you see, this benediction remains in place, and when I come back and really affirm the sovereignty of God and God's all-powerful impact, when I come back, as it were, to commune with Him in this family setting, then it is that He again assures me, but you are loved with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So we understand now a very important principle, and that is that if we are to be a success, and this happens on the linear line as well, there's a point of pausing and reflecting and readjusting. So instead of reacting with a knee-jerk reaction to the stimulus, I am now able to exercise a choice and to say, wait a minute, I don't have to insult you back. And in the very moment, I may be informed by the love of God and remember, turn the other cheek, go the second mile, pray for those who are your enemies. And I'm now responding reflectively in the light of God's love to something that might have led to a disaster. And however that person continues to feel and insult me, it doesn't matter anymore, for the simple reason that I am encased in the love of God, which is impervious to insult and makes me also impervious. I will listen carefully to any insult offered me, and I will ask myself in this little box called hope, is there any truth to it? And if there is, then let me say, thank you. And if there isn't, then I say, praise God. But it's not going to impact my peace and my joy, except perhaps momentarily, until I go back to the table and find a place of fellowship where I am reaffirmed in the love of God. I think this may be the greatest thing that I have ever pondered in my entire life. Because you see, this is where character is built. This is the place where Jesus is made more real in me as a mortal human being. So I've said instantaneously, in the moment, you may pause and reflect and offer love in the place of insult and injury, or you got the luxury of saying, you know what, I don't have to react in this moment. I can take a week or a month, and I don't have to, in this instant, respond to every stimulus that comes my way, but I can retire to the communion table, and I can say, so God, what's going on here? I don't understand this. And I can begin to ask people around me, godly counselors, people who are steeped in Scripture, listen, this is what's happening and I'm not sure how to proceed on this. Have you got anything from God's heart through His Word that tells me something about what on earth I'm supposed to do in this situation? And some people will offer you good counsel and some bad counsel, and you can ponder it, and you can be on your knees, and you will commune with God, and you will wait for the Holy Spirit to give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, and then that hope will come in flooding you, the superabundance of it, and you will say, ah, this is what I need to do. Now that has happened to us on many occasions. One of them was when we came back to Santa Barbara on retirement 4 years ago and first walked in the doors of this church and were still looking for a place to worship and weren't sure about it. A lot of things in our lives, and we paused and we reflected and we communed, and it led to this, and I'm there again. I don't know what the future holds. But I do know this, that every one of us can sit down at the table of communion and say, okay, God, this is over to you now. And you need to do that especially when times are difficult. If you got a bad diagnosis from your doctor, the place to go is not to the worry room. The place to go is to the communion table. And the God of hope will fill you and say, you are born again to life everlasting. Look for it. It's in the call to worship this morning. You are born again to life everlasting, and you therefore live in hope. And it takes away the fear. And it gives you the peace and the joy. And all that fear that you have, instead of being the fear of anxiety which gnaws and destroys your gut with tension, that you can relax and turn it by the process of communing at the table into a sense of anticipation. I was dreading it. But boy, now with God's hope, I wonder what it's going to be like. And you can see the difference. So my very dear friends, we've got to love each other, I think. Been feeling the grief of the moment this last week. And this is my parting wish to you all. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I was waiting for that. You make it more robust. Okay, I'll turn you into Baptists yet. Let us pray together. Oh, great God, you are so spectacular. Behind the complicated machinery of our salvation is this very simple outcome, that we are communing at a table with a Father whose heart is love, a Son who has demonstrated that love, and a Holy Spirit who brings it like a flood into our lives. May it flood this church for its future. Fill us with your hope. Fill the session, the leaders, the congregation, every person with the hope that the Apostle Paul expressed in that remarkable scripture reading, looking out for one another, developing into the persons that God wants us. Displacing all those feeble, stupid, worldly hopes and replacing them with this glorious one, that the hope that we have is nothing short than the hope of glory, that God will be manifested most gloriously in my interactions, in my pursuits, and in the outcomes of my life. In this moment, won't you for yourself just say to God, thank you, Lord, my hope is in you alone. Amen. Our closing hymn is another one celebrating God's majesty, glory. This has always been a